Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord this morning. Very happy to see you all. Very thankful and honored that Pastor David would ask me to share a message on the offering this morning. I don't take this lightly, so very honored to be behind this pulpit today. Everybody look to your neighbor and say, God's got something for me today. Now tell him God's got something for you. Amen. I want to share a little bit about the power of God and how it affects our finances. So if you turn to me, I've got a few scriptures prepared. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Very familiar verse, especially in a church like this. If you don't know it, it's an awesome verse to dwell on because, as you'll see, it's an empowering verse. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples after he had descended. I'm sorry, after he had risen from the grave, before he ascended to heaven. He said, "But you shall receive power." Everybody say power.
Power.
"You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now, this power that God's talking, that Jesus is talking about now, is the power that God baptizes us with in what's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which the church learned a little bit about on Wednesday. The New Testament and the New King James Version uses the word power interchangeably with two different Greek words, actually. And this word power means dynamic ability to accomplish, dunamis power. And so Jesus tells his disciples, you will receive power, and with that power comes a purpose. And the purpose was to be his witnesses. And that's our job as the children of God. As soon as we're brought into the kingdom, we are to witness. And God is never going to tell you to go do something until he empowers you to do it. And so God graciously pours out his Spirit on us, this dynamic working power, to accomplish his will. Now, if you would turn to with me to, let's go to Mark 16. It's the last book of Mark. Mark 16, starting in verse number 15. And this is Jesus again talking to his disciples after he had ascended from the grave, before he ascended to heaven. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." Everybody look at your neighbor, say, power. That's the dynamic, working, dunamis power of God, to lay hands on the sick, to raise the dead, to speak in new tongues, to pick up a serpent and won't harm you. We're not going to throw them around today, but to drink deadly poison and not be harmed. That's the dynamic, working power of God, his power at work. Why did he give that power to his disciples? So that they would go into all the world and preach to every creature, baptizing so that those that would believe would be saved. So, again, Jesus gives his power to the church, his disciples, that others would believe. He empowers you to do his will. Let's go next chapter over, a couple pages to the right. Luke chapter 4, and in verse 17, we'll begin. Luke chapter 4 and 17. This is Jesus speaking again. This is, he was teaching in the synagogue. It says, "And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it had been written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the good and acceptable year of the Lord.' The The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. The anointing is the manifest power and presence of God. Power and presence. Everybody say power. This is the power of God that is upon Jesus to heal the sick, to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind the brokenhearted, to mend the brokenhearted. Again, there's power so that many would believe. They believed because of the signs that he did. When Philip was in Acts chapter 8, Philip the evangelist was preaching, many believed because of the signs and wonders that he had done. So with the power comes the responsibility and the purpose. God empowers you to do his will to bring others to believe. Power, believe. Power, believe. Power, the demonstration of that power, many believe and are saved. And now when we think of that power, obviously we think about what we just read. There's healing. There's the manifestation of the falling of the Spirit. There's the casting out of devils. There's deliverance. But did you know that also your finances are anointed with power? And it's that same dynamic working power of God that is on your finances when you sow them that carries that anointing to do God's purpose. If you would turn with me now, let's go to Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 8, and the 18th verse, Deuteronomy 8:18. When you're there, say amen. Amen. Verse 18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you wealth. I'm sorry, it is he that gives you power to get wealth. Everybody say power. The Lord your God gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. The covenant that he swore to your fathers. In Genesis 12 and verse 3, he tells Abraham, you are blessed to be a blessing, and through you many nations of the earth will be blessed because of your seed. Who is the seed of Abraham? We are. Through whom? Jesus. He is the seed. So it's the same covenant that God's talking about here as the new covenant that we're talking about, that many nations, many families in the world, many tribes and people will be blessed because of his covenant. And he empowers us to do that. It is the Lord your God who gives you power to get wealth. That word power in the Hebrew is very similar to the one in the Greek. It's the dynamic working power of God to go and establish his covenant. And so, when we think of the healing power of God, we think of Jesus tangibly showing up and being in the manifest presence there. That same power that is upon our finances, that same power is there, but only by faith. Just as healing, if I were to walk, if I had the gift of healing or if I had an anointing for it and I'm not in faith, that's not going to work. But with the power of God, if you have faith attached to it, it's going to take care of everything else that you needed to take care of, that his covenant would be established. Now, if you look a little more carefully at the verse, actually, I do like the New Living Translation. Let me look up there and read it if you've got that for us, CJ. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to be successful, in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed with your ancestors, with an oath. I love that. In order to fulfill the covenant, he gives you the power to be successful. In order to fulfill the covenant, he empowers you. That his covenant would be fulfilled. So, the Lord empowers you a lot like an employer will power you. If I work at a construction company and I'm one of the roofers and I get up on the roof and I'm laying down shingles and I run out of shingles, guess what? It's not my responsibility to get more shingles. I'm not going to go, you know, to the wholesaler and say, hey, we need more shingles. That's the boss. I'm not paying for it out of my own pocket. He's already going to provide that. He gives me shingles that the roof would be completed. If I'm a painter, or if I tell somebody to paint my house, I hire them to paint my house and I give them one can of paint, and I see they do a really good job on one side of the house and they run out of paint, I'm going to give them more paint that my house might be painted. So the Lord gives you the power to create wealth that his covenant would be established. Therefore, the more that your money, your finances, your wealth, your land, your buildings, your ability is put toward the establishment of the kingdom of heaven, the more power God's going to come by and add. And he who is faithful with little will be faithful with much. And so, if I hire Colton to come paint my house, I give him one of those nice hats, the white hats and the coat and everything and a roller, and I come by and he's like, just sitting on the sidewalk, playing tiddlywinks, whatever, not doing anything. The paint's spilled over. There's nothing going on. I entrusted him with paint, and he didn't do anything. So, no more paint. Sorry. No, he's doing finger paint. He's painting his face and everything. But no more paint. Sorry, Colton. I know you'd do an excellent job if I ever hired you to paint. But with our finances, if the Lord looks at me and he says, Jake, I'm going to trust you with $500. I spoke to your spirit, and I want you to sow it. It's my responsibility then to use that wisely and sow it to somewhere that's going to use that to establish God's covenant. In this church, your finances are used to establish the covenant of God and outreaches, even here on Sunday morning. Just because, all of you are saved, I think, most of you I recognize or would expect to see you in heaven when we all go. The covenant is still being established with the teaching and the preaching of the word to the saints. It's the edifying of the church. It's God's covenant still being established over and over again. So every time that you sow into New Freedom Church, you're coming behind the kingdom of God and saying, I'm going to empower that to move forward. And so in the name of Jesus, if you would all receive this, I loose the power, the dynamic ability of God to perform work over your finances. Over every person that has sown seed to the kingdom of God, I loose a dynamic power of God over that right now in Jesus' name. That would multiply. That the power of God would multiply in their lives. That more and more people would be won to the kingdom of heaven because of their efforts, because of their finances, because of their sowing, because of their hard work. In the name of Jesus, Father, may they be anointed for your power. Your word says that I will anoint them. I will endue them from on high. So, Father, we receive that power now in Jesus' name. Amen. There are offering envelopes behind your chairs. There are many ways to give online. QR code. You can text 866-863-1948 to give. New Freedom Church is on Venmo. I'll give you a moment to fill out your offering envelopes. And I'd like to invite the ushers forward. Power. Everybody say power. Power. Everybody say that I am anointed with power. My finances are anointed with power. My money will establish the kingdom of heaven. With my money, God's will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, please serve the people. Thank you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your dynamic working power by your Holy Spirit. I thank you for every seed sown in love, every tithe and offering given in love, Father. In Jesus' name. Now, in the name of Jesus, I command this seed to multiply. I command this seed to multiply for the express purpose of building the kingdom of heaven, for the express purpose of fulfilling the will of God. Let no seed be wasted. Let no seed go without fruit. Let every seed here be planted in good soil and bear fruit, good fruit, for the kingdom of heaven, for God's purpose. I declare it now in Jesus' name. I command this to multiply. I command everybody's storehouse to overflow who is given today. I command it now in Jesus' name. I command abundance over New Freedom Church, yes, over its members, over its leadership. I command total abundance in this season. There shall not be a season of lack for the children of God. There shall be a season of abundance. Hallelujah. We plant this seed now, Father, and expect a great harvest for your purpose and for your kingdom. We give you all the praise and glory for it and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Here, I'll take that. Yep. The Lord is good. The Lord is really good. I was just listening to that message there, and it was just blessing me. And I'm telling you, what Jake was talking about is available right now in every area. And what the Lord gave me to give you today links up exactly with that, and it's called the grace of God. And that power and grace come together for God's kingdom to be multiplied, to be established, to be known, and to grow, and to fulfill everything that God has, not only in your life, but in heaven as well. I'm going to open in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful day that you have made. I thank you for faith that is established in this church and in the life of the believer. A belief system fully persuaded, fully convinced that God rules and reigns over all. That Jesus came and died and rose again. And that heaven is a real place where every born again believer will remain for eternity. I thank you for this wonderful day. I thank you for your beautiful, powerful, impactful word that will go forth today into each and every person's heart. Let it settle, let it be established, and let it produce by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You get hearing the word and your heart gets stirred. You don't want to go do anything else. You just want to sit there and just bask in the presence of God. I'm telling you, that offering message was just blessing me. I was sitting there on the front row just loving it. I'm like, yeah, I got the power. I'm like, God's going to use me. He's going to use my finances. He's going to use my words. He's going to use my family. He's going to use everything that he's blessed me with. I'm just a stork, and I just give it to you, Lord. You empower it and supernaturally do whatever it is that you want to do with it. Amen. Because it's yours to do. And I just yield to it. And I tell you, when you get to that place, the grace of God, the favor of God will wrap around whatever subject matter it is and produce his kingdom in that place, and it'll thrive like never before. Amen. Like never before. See, there's a grace upon you. There's a grace available. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. Because the church, for some reason, majority of believers have the equation in their life where they got to be a certain way to receive God's grace. And that's not the Bible. That's not the gospel. It's the opposite of that. It's the opposite. It's a believing in God that produces his grace to do the work and to be the man and woman of God he created you to be. Can I get an amen? Amen. We are trying to earn our salvation, and God, Jesus, already paid for our salvation. So it's not a what am I going to do or what can I do to get in God's good graces. It's what can I believe Jesus and I receive God's graces. See, when you have Jesus in your heart, the grace of God is already upon you. You're just not sure how to operate and really yield to the grace of God, the free gift. Same thing with salvation. When Jesus comes in, deliverance and salvation and healing are you. You become healed. You become saved because who lives in you? Guess what? Grace is that way too. You didn't earn your salvation. You didn't pay for your healing. You certainly can't earn or pay for the grace of God. Amen. You get a hold of this truth, it'll free you. Stop trying to earn the goodness of God. Just walk in it by faith. You will see grace and faith together operate. The kingdom of God flows in your life. You can try to walk in faith, quote scriptures, you know, do everything that you know to do by faith, but you also have to allow God's grace to function while you walk in, because true faith allows God to do the work. See, a lot of times we're trying to, you know, doesn't the Bible say in James, I show you my faith by my works. Works come after the fact. Faith has to be first. So faith and grace, you do the work of the Lord. Not trying to do the work of the Lord in your own power to get God's grace upon your life. That is not the word of God. But that is religion. And it will burn you out. People walk in condemnation. They get frustrated at themselves. They get frustrated at the preacher. They get frustrated at the church. Everything's about trying to be good enough to get something from God. If I can just do this, God will love me more. God's love has already been poured out on society, on life, on every person. God so loved the world, he already gave the gift of love through Jesus Christ. You receive the love of God. How? By receiving Jesus. Not by doing so many scriptures in the Bible or reading or devoting so much or giving so much money to earn God's love. The gospel is not earning. The gospel is receiving. Amen. This is wonderful news. It will change your life. God's grace, if you can just settle in to the word of God, for by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself. Grace and faith, you get salvation. Grace and faith, deliverance. Grace and faith, healing. Grace and faith, fulfillment of God's gifting in your life. Grace and faith, eternal life. See how this works? Don't stop the equation because your mental realm can't grasp it. Don't stop ministering to the lost because you don't think you're good enough. You understand what's... Don't stop fulfilling what God's telling you to do because it's out of your power. It's going to be out of your power because you're going to have to rely on another power. Amen. Back to the offering. You hear what I'm saying? It's the power's available, the ability's available, everything's available, and it all hinges on us believing that we can do it. Believing on the one that made it available. His name is Jesus. Whoo, this is good stuff. I'm going to share a scripture with you that is giving us this series on grace. This is a scripture that I was reading in my devotion where it's like the Lord came down, picked me up out of my seat and said, get this. And I'm like, when the Lord does something like that, you're like, okay, I'm going to get this. And this is what stirred this whole grace series, this scripture right here. And I'm believing it's going to stir your heart as well. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12. This is out of the Amplified. And this is just a portion, just mentions about the grace of God. But something broke in me concerning this and stirred in me concerning this that I can't get away from it. And when the Lord speaks to you and you can't get away from it, just just marinate yourself in it. Just jump headlong into it till you get the fulfillment of what God's saying. So that's what I'm doing. I'm going to minister on grace for the next couple weeks because this is where the Lord wants me and he's got something for you. Say, God's got something for me. And it's called grace. Amen. It's called grace. 2 Thessalonians, it's a big word. 1:11-12. Here it is. This is out of the Amplified. With this in view, we constantly pray for you that our God will count you worthy of your calling to faith and with his power fulfill every desire for goodness and complete your every work of faith. I want to stop there. There's something here. Paul is saying they are praying. Pray before you do anything. Prayer is the foundation. The prayer of faith is the foundation that starts the move of God. It starts revival. It starts ministry. It starts everything. Prayer is really the key that starts unlocking heaven. Because when you pray in what? Faith. And when faith is in operation, God's ear is open. Movement of the kingdom starts happening. Angels, angelic hosts start moving when the word of God is spoken. So when you pray, get ready. That's why we pray before the service. Amen. Why? Because we're unlocking heaven for God to come down and do a wonderful thing in the service today. Amen. So when you go, anywhere you go, I'm going to North Carolina today. I'm praying. Why? Because I know prayer is going to unlock heaven for protection, provision, and every single need that I have. And beyond that, to the point that God will be glorified in everything that takes place. Amen. I'm gonna do my best to allow the grace of God to flow through me for you to get a hold of this. For you to get a hold of what it means to walk and live in the grace of God. And there's keys that I'm going to show you here. Prayer is one of them, but it has to be in faith. Notice what it says, that our God will count you worthy of your calling to faith. What's he calling us to? You're like, Lord, I don't know my calling. I don't know what it is that God wants me to do. The way you find it is by faith. That is the key to finding God's will for your life, is believing that he has it and he wants to give it to you. This is simple Christian 101. But as we dive into this, you're going to see something, that grace is not something far off. It's not I have to go to Bible school. It's not I have to learn a bunch of scriptures. Grace is available as soon as faith is released. Once faith is released, grace is with it. Because as long as one point, there's one key to your faith, it has to be in Jesus. If you have faith in man, you're not going to get the grace of God. You understand what I'm saying? Faith has to be pointed at the one that gives the grace. If it's not pointed at the one that gives the grace, you're believing in something that cannot fulfill it. So if your faith is in the government, you're going to have to believe for the grace of the government to provide everything for you. You see the problem with that? It's a big problem. Okay, if your faith is in a minister, come on. If it's, then you're believing that the minister is going to do everything for you. I'm just here to tell you, let's get it plain and simple. That ain't happening. That's not going to happen from me, from this pastoral staff, or any other minister. We're not God. We cannot provide the way God can provide. I did not create you, thank God, and I am not here to fulfill God's fulfillment in your life. I cannot walk and live out your faith. It's your faith in him. Amen. See, it has to be direct. Do not go through a priest to get to God. Go to God yourself. Yeah. Amen. That's where the grace is. That's where redemption is. That's where everything is. It's not found in man. Man is only here and gifted, and woman, to point you to the one that gives you everything. Yeah. Okay, so you're coming to church today to hear a man, a woman, whoever's behind the pulpit, to point you to Jesus. Yes. To stir your faith in the one that saved you and delivered you and has more for you. Okay? You didn't come here to listen to me. Amen. I didn't come here to just stare at you. Amen. You're beautiful, though. Everyone, beautiful. But that's not why I'm here, is to stare at you. All right? That's not the reason I'm here is to point and get together in fellowship and be edified by Almighty God. That's why we're here. The edifying and encouraging of the body of Christ. To get into the doctrine, build our faith, stir our faith, to believe God for God's grace to be upon our life as we do the will of God for our lives. Amen. You will be empowered today to do God's will. And it's found by faith in the grace of God. If you try it any other way, the equation does not work. It does not work. If your faith is in something else, God's grace will not be upon it. If you're wondering why God's grace is not upon something, you have to ask yourself, what am I believing in? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Some of you are like, hey, this isn't working? Now, persecution's one thing. But if it's not persecution and it's not working, you literally have to ask yourself flat out, is God in this or not? Am I believing God for this, or am I doing it in my own power? You do it in your own power, you're going to have to provide all the grace yourself. And that's where burnout comes. That's where condemnation comes. That's where works mentality comes. That's where it goes from desiring it to be a good work to a dead work. Because there's people doing a lot of dead works that are works, but they're not producing the kingdom. It has to produce the kingdom. And God's grace wants, God wants his kingdom to be produced. So he puts his grace on what's going to produce after himself. Amen? So if it's not going to produce the kingdom of God and multiply the kingdom of God and build the church, amen. If it's not building the church or building believers, or setting people free, or doing what the Word of God says. God puts His grace on His Word. Yeah. Guess what? Faith comes by hearing the Word. When you read the Word, faith and grace are attached to it. All of a sudden, the promise comes to pass. Because God's like, I'm going to honor my Word, and I'm going to honor it to every single person that believes in it. So when you believe the Word, the grace of God is upon it. So whatever you believe in this Bible or in your Bible, God's grace is there. There's favor there. There's blessing there. Unearned. All you had to do was believe it. The incorruptible seed is planted. Amen. What produces it is your faith in it and God's grace upon it. Faith in it, grace upon it, promise fulfilled. Amen. Jesus is coming back for the church. Why do I know that? Because I believe that Jesus is coming back and his grace is upon the church till he comes for it. So when you put faith in something that's according to God's word and your faith is in Jesus, there's grace right there available. When we say there's provision for the vision has to be God's vision. And the provision is the grace of God upon it. You hear what I'm saying? You're getting this. I feel it. I know you're getting it. You're like, this is good. This is, yeah, it's good. It's wonderful. And it operates on, all levels. So it's operating in salvation. It's operating with the little kids in the back. It's operating in your finances. It can operate even in your thought patterns. That's why when you have a negative thought, you got to get rid of it because you don't want to put your faith in it. Because you won't have God's grace on it because it's not from God. That's why you got to get the thoughts out. That's why you got to get the doubt. If you have doubt and unbelief, there's no grace available because grace works with faith. Do you see how easy this is? But do you see how easy you can get messed up? Yeah. You get in doubt and unbelief, there's no faith, there's no grace, there's no promise. Don't stay there. We would be stupid to stay in doubt and unbelief. Because you're literally saying, I don't want the grace of God. I can do it in my own power. It's all in my ability. That's a bad place to be. Or you can say, I believe and trust in the living God. And all of a sudden, what you put your faith and trust in and give to God, all of a sudden, His grace is there, His anointing is there, His power is there, His love is there, His peace is there. See how everything just funnels from the kingdom of heaven through faith in His grace into our lives? Whoo, this is powerful. But the people don't teach this. People don't understand this, but it's so simple. Wherever faith is released, grace is available. As long as it is in Jesus Christ. If you're doing something and Christ Jesus isn't the center of it, there's no grace there. I know going to North Carolina, there's grace now. There's grace on the way. There's grace while I'm there. There's grace when I come back. There's grace upon soul winning today, even though I'm not a part of it. God's everywhere all the time that He's allowed to be. It's not about that Pastor David being at every single thing. I can't be in North Carolina and Smyrna at the same time. Amen. Can't do it. But God can. God's grace can. So I know every single one that's going soul winning today and sharing the love of Jesus with people, you're going to realize something. There's a grace upon that. Why? Because God's in it. And when God's in it, there's a grace there. There's favor there. So if there's no favor in an area, you got to ask yourself, why is there no favor here? Why is there no peace here? Oh, yeah. You'll be cutting out some stuff in your life because God's not in it. And if God's not in it, it's a waste of time. And you're laboring in your own power. Let's stop laboring in that. Let's labor in the Lord. Amen. Labor in prayer. Hallelujah. I think I shared one verse this morning in a half hour. Verse number 2. Actually, verse number 12 of 2 Thessalonians 1. So that the name... Here it is. I got to read 11 again into 12. With this in view, we constantly pray for you that our God will count you worthy of your calling to faith. And with His power, fulfill every desire for goodness and complete every work of faith. God's going to complete everything that you put faith in. Amen. Verse 12. So that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified. If your faith is in something that the Lord's not on and He won't get the glory for it, He's not going to put His grace on it. You say, well, that's a mean-sounding God. That's how God operates. That's how God operates. He's a just God. He's a righteous God. And He'll bless everything that He's a part of. But if He's not welcomed in, He's not going to bless it. Okay? And it comes by faith. So that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you. God wants to glorify Himself in you. Everybody say, in me.
In me.
Is God's glory. Amen. He literally, Jesus wants to be glorified in and through you. You say, well, I don't deserve it. Neither do I. Nobody deserves it. But God sees fit to those that are in faith in His Son to pour it out. So if you wonder why God's grace is upon a person and it doesn't feel like it's upon another person, there's the reason. What's their faith in? What are they yielded to? What are they walking in? Obedience to God versus the one that's not. Okay? I'm not judging people. I'm just sharing the truth. That faith and grace are on what God's in. Amen. And it goes with people. The anointing of God, it's the same. It works the same way. God's power and anointing on somebody is due to their surrender and their trust in Jesus Christ. There's a grace to minister the word of God as a pastor. There's decisions I have to make. There's things I hear that I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, why do I say that? And I'm not saying it out of faith. I'm saying my reliance is on Him. Because I hear things that I'm like, there's no way. There's no way I can do this. But God has a way to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Lord, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. And it's going to happen because of You, not because of me. It's not in my power, it's in Your power. So I relinquish myself, my power, my flesh, my thoughts, my wisdom, and I give it all to You, Lord. You show me how to deal with this matter. So I encourage you, a nice process when you hear something negative, just take a step back and look to the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, this is a big deal. It may be something very negative that you hear, but you still operate the same way. Take a step back, ask the Lord, how do I handle this? Lord, show me. I need wisdom in this area. Take your time, hear the voice of God, trust in Him, and now all of a sudden the grace will be released to handle it. That's how you work with things. Now, if it's a praise report, you don't have to take a step back. You start running and dancing because you know God's grace is already applied to it. It's already happened. It's a testimony. But when the test comes, you got to say, I don't have an answer for this right now. People ask me questions about the Bible. Pastor, I don't have an answer for you, to be quite honest with you. But I take a step back, ask the Lord, I'll get back to you. Pray in the Spirit, get in the Word, and then get them an answer, even if it's a day later. If it's the right word a day later, it's better than the wrong word in the moment. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Don't just speak to sound religious and give people bad information. All it does is lead to detrimental bad things, bad theology, bad doctrine, and just shipwreck faith. So it's better to just shut your mouth, get the right answer, get the peace of God, put your faith in God, have His grace, then give the response you need. And that's not only for helping other people, that's to help yourself. So when you feel, have a bad thought, don't just entertain it, try to deal with it in your own power. Well, I just, you know, that's not, and you just try to work it out in your own self. No, don't do it, and you can't do it in your own self. It will take over you and consume you if you try to handle life by yourself. You need the grace of God. Even in your own thoughts, you need the grace of God. So your thoughts, you put them against the Word of God in 2 Corinthians 10, I believe it talks about, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of who? Christ. Why? Because Christ has the answer to every thought you have. And when you put Christ on it, you're putting your faith in it, and His grace is upon it, and then you realize that's not mine. I don't need to take a second more with it. And you just go on your way, turn, give it, just release it, and go on. You say, well, I can't control my thoughts. You can't control them when they come, when where they come from, but you can control whether they stay or not. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And how do you deal with thoughts? Faith in God. Faith in God, and His grace is there. You may have a thought that comes that you're like, I can't handle this. I believe I'm supposed to do it, but I don't. You got to rely on the grace of God. You have to rely on the grace of God. And I'm not one of them grace preachers, because I put my hand to stuff, and I have to believe God. So grace isn't just sloppy grace where you're like, well, God will handle everything. I don't have to do nothing. You need faith attached to grace. If you don't have faith attached to it, it's not the grace of God. And it may look good for a moment, but it will not sustain itself. That's why Jesus says, fruit that will remain. Okay, amen. I'm getting to the second verse of the sermon today. So that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, excuse me, will be glorified in you by what you do, and you in Him, according to, everybody say according to, so this is telling us how it's going to happen according to the precious grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So those two verses set themselves up and are accomplished according to the grace of God. So if you want to be able to walk in the things of God, apply your faith, do the work of the Lord, fulfill the command on your life, you need the grace of God. And guess what? God's grace is upon every person that has Jesus Christ. Every person that has. You wonder why the world labors so hard? Because they're trying to do it in their own power. But when you put it on the Lord, the Lord will he'll remove stuff that'll hinder you. He'll remove stuff that'll weigh you down. And He'll just give you exactly what you need to do. And the Lord told me, get the Word of God into people. So, the ministry that God has for me in my life as of this day is 8 words. If everything I do falls in the line of those 8 words, there's a grace available for it. That's the word the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord is going to speak words to you. Amen. But you got to do, your life has to fall into what the Lord's speaking to you. Because there's where the grace is. So if over here is what the Lord spoke to you, that everything over here is full of grace, the grace of God. But if you're doing everything over here that you want to do, there's no grace here. So 8 words, even for the church, even for New Freedom, get the word of God into people is what he told me. That's part of who we are. We don't do any ministry, outreach, nothing if it's not getting the word of God into somebody. Soul winning, teaching, preaching, demonstration, prayer, worship, praise, it's all getting the word of God into people. So it falls right in that line. But if I'm out there just doing whatever, we're not going to feed people without sharing the gospel with them, because just feeding people doesn't get the word of God into them. You see what I'm saying? Amen. When I go to North Carolina, I'm not just taking a truckload of stuff just to dump and say, God bless you. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but there's nothing really that good about it either, because it will not sustain them and it will not fulfill the command on my life. So I'm going to be praying with people. I'm going to be laying hands on people. We're going to be helping people. We're going to share the gospel with people. Why? Those 8 words the Lord spoke to me. You need to ask the Lord, what has he spoken to you to do? What is God's plan and will for your life? Amen. If you've heard a word like, I don't know. It's not my word, so I don't know everybody else's word. But you gotta know what God is speaking to you. Thank God he only did 8 words for me. So I don't have to think about it too hard. It's easy. If I'm doing something that is not glorifying God and getting his word into people, but I'm a minister. I get that. That's my calling on my life. But there's other ministers that have different words, and there's a grace available for them. I'm going to probably talk about that next week, you know, the giftings in people and how grace works with your gifting. So let me get back to the graces upon you. Oh, my goodness. Didn't realize how much anointing was here this morning. You guys are awesome. Grace does a work through you to glorify God. God's grace is not for you to glory. So, God's grace, the grace does not work in and through, it works in and through you to do one purpose, to glorify God. Grace does not work in and through you. The grace of God does not work in and through you to glorify yourself. Never, ever, ever will God release his glory and take the glory and want it to be for you. He does not put man on a pedestal. Man puts man on a pedestal. God does not put man on a pedestal. He'll give them a place to preach from a pedestal, but he won't put them on a pedestal. Do you understand what? There's a difference there. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Okay, good. You do. Amen. Colossians 1, 4 through 6, Amplified. It says, thank goodness for water in the grace of God. Amen. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. You'll see every scripture, you'll see faith is going to be attached to it. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, how you lean on him with absolute confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness, and of the unselfish love which you have for all the saints, God's people. Notice the theme here. Believing on God, leaning on him. When you lean on something, you are releasing, you're using less of your power, and you're relying on something else to hold you. Isn't that what happens when you lean on something? When you lean on someone's shoulder, say a person gets injured on the football field and the staff comes out, or a player, and they put their arm around them and they're putting their weight and applying it to another place. That's what leaning on does. So what is this saying? This is saying how you lean on him. On who? Jesus. We have to lean on Jesus. That means it's not in our power. We're relying on God's power. That's important. If you are not leaning on God, to lean on means you have to surrender yourself and give it or put it on something else. That's what that means. And that's what faith does. Faith says, I'm persuaded and trusting in God, not in my own ability. Okay, I'm glad we got that established. Praise God. Unless you guys want to stand up and lean on your neighbor to understand the concept here, that's what it means. Your neighbor will handle your weight. Okay? God wants to handle your weight. He wants to handle your struggle. He wants to handle what makes you anxious. He wants to handle your pain, your discomfort. Everything that this world throws at you, God's sitting there waiting. Throw it on me. Throw it on me. I already went to the cross and paid for it all. Give it to me. I already defeated it. It's not like the Lord's up there like, I got everybody's problem. They're in the grave, man. All our problems that we face are already in the grave. And once we give them to God, God's like, I'm not holding them. They're as far as the east is from the west. They're already paid for in my eyes. So God doesn't even literally take them. We make them tangible. God doesn't see our problems as tangible. Man, that's the anointing right there. That's the Holy Ghost right there. God does not see our problems as tangible problems because he already paid for them. That is powerful. God. That is so powerful. If you can see that, the only reason it seems tangible is because it's operating in the fleshly or mental realm. But God's a spirit, so he doesn't operate in that realm in how he operates. You understand what I'm saying? So, man, when you get anxious or you're in fear, God can't give you a spirit of fear. He gives you power, love, and a sound mind. So as soon as you realize the only reason you're feeling it is because you decided to feel it, and the only reason you won't feel it is if you give it away, and you say, my flesh is not receiving this. My mind is not receiving this. I'm giving it to God. God's like, I know. Thank you. I already paid for it. I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't even know what you're talking about. You talking about sickness? We bring sickness to God? God's like, yeah, my son dealt with that already 2,000 years ago. Your sin, he's like, I'm not carrying that sin. My son paid for that sin. Amen. I'm not carrying it any longer. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to be real with you. When you walk in the spirit, the things of the flesh don't mean anything to you. And you're why do you think laying hands on people and getting people healed is God's business? It's God's business because it puts weight on people that Jesus already paid for. So when you lay your hands on somebody, think about this. The grace of God is right there because Jesus already paid for it. So when you believe God and lay hands on someone, when you believe God and share the gospel with them, God's grace is there. You soul winners that are going today, God's grace has already gone before you. It's been paid for 2,000 years ago. All you do is, I'm going in the name of Jesus. I'm going in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's not in my ability. I'm just a vessel. I'm just a vocal thing to be used by God. I don't have to be anxious about sharing my faith. I don't have to be ashamed about sharing my faith. It's the power of God that brings salvation, not my good words. My words do nothing. Lord, give me your word. Oh my, isn't that amazing? He gave us his word. Ask and you shall receive. It's already there. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not in your power. It's not you. Just go be a vessel. You say, well, I've never seen anybody healed. Have you laid hands on somebody? What caused you not to? Fear? Unbelief? But yeah, Jesus, be healed. You just go do it. You say, well, what if they don't get healed? That's not your problem. There's people I pray for all the time, and they don't get healed. No, it's not my problem. They're not my problem. I just got to be obedient to do what the Lord says to do. Yeah. And his grace is there. That's right. Then the Lord's got to work through that person. But when it comes to my own vessel, that's totally up to me. So if I'm not receiving something from the Lord, I can't blame anybody else. Mm-hmm. Come on. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is deep because this is your own kitty litter. This is your own business. See, when you are ministering with God for somebody else, there's your faith, God's work, his grace, and their faith that's part of this equation. But when it's just you, it's your faith and God's grace. So I'm telling you, you got to get this straight before you go do some of this. Why? Because this has to operate when you work with somebody else. You understand the principle here. Oh, I just want to go do. Can I get behind the pulpit, Pastor? Can I preach? How's the ministry working with you in Jesus? What fruit are you producing in your life on your own before you try to portray something on somebody else? Hey, I'm telling you, this is an anointed place that just because you want to do it doesn't mean you're going to do it. Amen. You got it. This has to get right. Let me just rephrase myself. Does it have to be perfect? No. But it's made perfect because Jesus is perfect. Amen. So you're like, well, do I have to be perfect before I can preach? No. But you got to yield everything to God, to the perfect one. And what that does, it makes you perfect. The blood of Jesus made me perfect. When I was combining in 2004, and the Lord spoke to me, I was listening to country music, listening about wife leaving, dog dying, truck breaking down. I wasn't even focused on the Lord. Why in the world would he talk to me? Because he had a plan and a purpose. And I had to yield my vessel for the grace of God to be able to do what I'm doing now. Combining corn is not a curse. You understand? But God had a plan for me, and he gave a grace for that plan. And as long as I believe God for that plan, his grace is there. You hear what I'm saying? Whatever God is speaking to you, whatever he's calling you to do, there's a grace there. If you're an entrepreneur and you're a business, you're starting a business, and the Lord spoke it to you, that anointing is there and the grace is there to accomplish it. It's not in your power. He didn't give you the idea and then expects you to do it all. No, he gave you the idea, but you need to put your hand and trust in him to bring it to fulfillment. You hear what I'm saying? This works on every... I'm not just talking about big things. I'm talking about little things that are daily in your own personal life. It works the same way. Grace operates the same way. So we're leaning on Christ. I'm getting more scriptures out today. I'm a preacher, but the Word of God is what does the work. Amen. Verse 5. Because of the confident hope of experiencing that which is reserved and waiting for you in heaven. I tell you, my wife and I, we don't go out to eat a ton, but we're going to go out to eat more. Amen. Amen. But when we make that decision and we say we're going to make reservations and go out to dinner, you know how freeing that is about having to lay something out for dinner, having to plan it, get ingredients out, then wait till it cooks. All those things that go into planning a meal. When you reserve your seat and somebody else is doing it all, and all you need to do is show up, no labor involved at all, just show up. Who showed up today at church? God did, but you did. Amen, you're here. You showed up. There is a seat reserved for you at New Freedom Church. Amen. But think about this, reserved. That means it's got your name on it. There's a seat at that restaurant with your name. When you give a reservation, what do you give with a reservation? You give a time and you give a name. So they know when you show up, you don't steal somebody else's reservation. Come on now, this is getting ready to get real good. There's a reservation in heaven with your name on it. That's right. That nobody else can take your place. Amen. There's a mansion being built by your faithfulness here on earth with your name on it. Nobody can take your house in heaven. You don't have to pay property tax. You can't lose it. You can't go bankrupt. You understand what I'm saying? It's reserved for you. It's reserved for you. It's reserved. Man, when I go out to dinner and it's like, we have the table set for you. Here's your menu. All you got to do is make a decision. They bring it out to you. And then you, the one labor intensive part of it is cutting that steak and putting it in your mouth. Amen. That's the blessing. That's the only labor you have is to cut or to peel that lobster tail and receive it. Dip it in that butter. that hot, liquidy butter. Amen. That's all you need to do is enjoy what was reserved for you. I mean, now you got the picture, okay? Hope, confident hope of experience that which is reserved and waiting for you in heaven. For the believer, every single child of God has a reserved place in heaven for eternity. If that was the only thing we get, the heck with the earth. I could care less about it. I got a reserved place in heaven, but that's not all of it. He's got things for you to do here on earth. Amen. That make your reservation even better when you get there. Hey, you can reserve a seat. I don't think you can, but this is my analogy. You can reserve a seat at McDonald's. Guess what? You'll get some food. Or you can reserve a seat at Ruth Chris Steakhouse or a Brazilian steakhouse. I'm not that hungry. I'm just giving you analogies, okay? You there's a difference. You can have people that microwave your food. Or you can have a butler that stands there with a towel waiting on you, asking you whatever you have need of. Yeah. With a dessert menu that costs more than your whole meal at McDonald's. Yeah, come on. I'm talking about the one dessert that's this big, that's worth more, costs more than your whole value meal. That has no value. Amen. Please. Let's ask the Lord to help us get through this sermon. You previously heard this message of hope in the message of truth, the gospel regarding salvation. God's grace is on the gospel. Right? If you're taking notes, write that down. That is a key to this sermon. The grace upon you is because the gospel is in you. The grace upon what you do is because the gospel is in it. That's why soul winning is way up on the list when it comes to grace. God's grace is upon soul winners' lives because they're putting God first. I'm not trying to give a soul winning push here, but I am. Amen. God's grace is upon soul winners. Why? Because they're doing the will of God. When you share Jesus, you are right smack dab in the grace of God. Because what is the currency of heaven? Souls. If the currency of something that the whole reason heaven operates is not so angels can fly around, the whole reason for heaven is for souls. For God's people to come, live, dine, dwell, and experience and worship God for eternity. It's about you and me and all of mankind. That's what heaven is all about. So why is the church here? To get as many people on board to experience the glory of God and live eternally in heaven. Yeah. It's not to build a big church building. Yeah, you can do that. You need a big building when you have a lot of people. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. People are like, oh, I'm against the plane. If that plane is doing the gospel, that plane has grace on it. You can shoot me. You can get so mad at me. Turn the Facebook off. I don't care. There is a grace available for people, men and women, that are doing God's work. There's a grace there. And finances flow with the grace of God. You say, oh, well, that's that prosperity message. Yeah, it is. It is the prosperity message. Because that's part of the gospel. Read your Bible. That thou may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Your health, you thriving in life, is due to a prosperous soul. Getting your thoughts in order. How do you get your thoughts in order? Trust God, believe His word, and don't accept anything else. It's that simple. Your prosperity is in your thoughts. If you can think it, you can have it. Whoo! That's anti-denomination, but that's the word of God. That's the word of God. If you can believe it and you can see it through Jesus Christ, it's yours. You can have what you say as long as it's in line with the will of God. It's God's will for you to prosper, for your debt to be, for to not have debt. That's the will of God. Why? So you can bless more people. Amen. So you can send people to North Carolina. You can't go? That's fine. Send finance. Donate something. Pray for us. Amazing. The grace of God. I told Pastor Lacey, I was like, it's burning on the inside of me. God's going to provide all the finances for it. Man, I got, you won't even believe. You won't even believe. Gas is paid for. Free housing. That was, and the whole reason, everything that came in, you're like, well, what are you going to do with the extra money? It's going to stay there. Yeah. All I'm bringing back is enough money to get back. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Thousands of dollars come in. It's only going to cost me a couple hundred to get there and back. Thousands came in. It was for that. That's where it's going. Why? Because the grace of God is applied where faith is released. Yeah. All that money, faith is released on that money for those people down there. It's staying there. Yeah. And the moment someone does something with God's money, you better look out. So there ain't a penny coming back that I don't need. You understand? Mm-hmm. You need to hear this. People don't want to talk about this, but wherever God's grace is, wherever faith is released, because that person sowed with the intent of that money going there. That money's got to go there. There's no other place for it. You say, well, there's more than enough. Those people need it. That's where it's going. So when you give to New Freedom, you got to realize something. It goes exactly where you intend it to go. And it goes exactly, and you get fruit and a reward, and you will reap based off of your faith upon it. Because there's a grace there. Verse 6, I'm going to say it again. Which has come to you. Indeed, just as the whole world, the gospel is consistently bearing fruit, spreading by God's power, and that's through the church, just as it has been doing among you ever since the day you first heard of it and understood the grace of God. There is a grace upon the gospel. The moment the sharing, the moment the preaching, the moment the teaching of the gospel, there's a grace available for it. So by faith, when you receive what's being preached out of God's word, instantly there's a power there to make it come to pass. So everything I'm talking about, you're like, is that for me? If you want it to be. If you want it to be yours, it's yours. Based off of you believing that it's yours. This is why dealing with doubt and unbelief is so powerful. Yeah. That is the hindrance. It's not a faith problem. It's a doubt and an unbelief problem. Amen. Because once you grab a hold of it, that little kid back there can be an entrepreneur and have a great business at the age of 19. Yeah. If they believe and see themselves doing it. Yeah. Amen. And their motives are correct. Yeah. Amen. Okay. Glad we see this. Acts 11:23, Amplified. It says, when he arrived and saw the grace of God that was bestowed on them, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with an unwavering heart to stay true and devoted to the Lord. Man, that scripture has so much in it. Paul saw the grace of God that was upon them. Grace can be seen. I'm taking another step here, so keep coming with me. Don't get stuck. I know it's a lot of revelation, but keep coming with me. Grace can be seen on people. Why is it seen on them? Because their faith is in Jesus Christ. There's a grace that is seen on people. Notice, he rejoiced. So don't get mad when the grace of God is on your neighbor. Don't get jealous. Don't be a hater because somebody else is being blessed by God. There's a reason. The blessing doesn't just flow like water flows and covers the earth. The grace of God flows where faith is released. Yeah. Yeah. And it'll happen, it'll pour out on some, it'll pour out on others. Hear me. Was bestowed upon them, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with an unwavering heart to stay true and devoted to the Lord. The reason the grace was on them, because they were devoted to the Lord. Yeah. So you stay devoted to the Lord, stay focused on the Lord, the grace will stay. It will keep producing. And your devotion gets deeper, your grace gets stronger. God will give you grace for what you're going through. And when you step up into greater things, amen, there's a new grace, a greater grace that will be poured out in that. You say, well, I got to believe God more. Yeah, I got to believe God for our size church. Other churches with 10,000 people, they got to believe God for whatever it takes for those 10,000 people. There's a grace for them like there's a grace for me. Exactly. Amen. But it's both applied through faith. Amen. And guess what? Well done thy what? Good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. It doesn't say the number. It says faithfulness. Yeah. Yeah. There's a grace for your faithfulness. Wherever you're faithful, there's a grace. Amen. Acts 11:23. When he arrived and saw the grace of God. I just read this. Let's keep going. Acts 13:43. Just turn the page or two. Acts 13:43. When the congregation of the synagogue had been dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts of Judaism, notice, devout converts, amen, following Jesus, the Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who was talking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. How do you continue in the favor of God? We got to ask ourselves this question, because you don't want the grace of God and then it stopped flowing, right? You don't want the favor of God one time and then all of a sudden, where's the favor of God at? Come on. The flesh deals with this. Oh, God did this, but why is it not happening now? Good question. I'm glad you asked. The reason it doesn't keep happening is because we, our flesh, or our thoughts, something shifted on our end that stopped that grace from flowing. And it's called faith in God stopped operating. Just like Peter, grace was there to walk on the water, wasn't it? He stepped out, he walked on the water. When did Peter start sinking? When he stopped looking at Jesus. The grace stopped when he stopped his focus. You say, well, that's Peter. I'm not sure how it works with me. It works the same way. Amen. It works the same way. Amen. 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 Every story in Scripture you can see where there's grace there, when the grace stopped. Yeah. Or when the grace picked up, when the grace increased, and when it continued to go higher and higher. So you can see wherever grace and blessing and favor are, there's faith attached to it. So when people have a big ministry in the natural, there is a faith that was established there to produce the grace to get there. And everybody's like, well, how do they have all that? Their sacrifice and their belief system got them there. I know this makes people mad. It's the truth. Their reliance on God pulled on God, and the grace of God flowed to do what they're doing. There's a man of God that I follow. Phenomenal ministry. I'll give his name. Okay, hey, Jonathan Shuttlesworth. Big ministry. Big ministry. Same age as me. Just had his birthday. My birthday's in a month and a half. Same age. There's a different grace. There's a different faith, different gifting, different operation. Is either one wrong? Nope. Nope. So don't look at your neighbor and judge. Oh man, I'm not getting what they're getting. What am I? Maybe you're getting everything that God has for you, and that's where God has you. Amen. God has us in Sellersville, not in Hawaii. Amen. Guess what? It is what it is. This is where we are. We're going to make the most of it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I love Sellersville. I love you. I wouldn't want any other congregation. Amen. You're the best. Amen. I'm not moving just because it's Hawaii. I'm definitely not moving to Florida. Amen. It's just, no. I'm not moving somewhere that makes my flesh feel good. I'm going where God wants me to be, and I'm staying there. Till God says, go somewhere else. He ain't speaking. I'm here. Like it or not, I'm your pastor. Amen. I would say, if you don't like it, hit the road, Jack. I'm not saying that. Love you. I love you. Amen. That's terrible. We have so much fun here. It's God. It has to be God. We did an all-night prayer 2 days ago, I think it was, Friday night into Saturday morning, praying, believing God to start something. Not to get God started, but to get the people of God started, active, believing, flowing, and believing, trusting in God, believing for another platform, another place to go, for God's grace to come. You understand what I'm saying? When you pray, you're not trying to pull God into your situation. You're believing God to get pulled out of your situation by Him. Yeah. Amen. You understand? It's not you trying to get something from God. It's you getting in a place to receive from God. getting doubt and unbelief out of the way. Oh, I could preach on that for the rest of my ministry. Doubt and unbelief. Oh, it's such a hindrance to the body of Christ. Believing lies, believing half-truths, and having shipwrecked faith or covetousness, and believing, somebody else is doing this, and you get over into condemnation, and it just shipwrecks you, messes you up. Just you and God getting a place for His grace to hear the voice of God, and you're where you need to be. You're where you need to be if you're in the will of God and you're hearing the voice of God. Just obey it, and there's a grace there. Jeez. Acts 14, turn the page again. Maybe you don't have to. Depends on your Bible. Acts 14, 26. For there they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been entrusted to the grace of God for the work which they had now completed. Oh, so they were going back to Antioch, but notice something. They were entrusted. King James says to recommend. They were recommended to the grace of God. That word means to yield or to present or to surrender. Amen. So Paul, they were entrusted. Before they went, how do you entrust something? How do you, like when I'm going to North Carolina today, or Tennessee today, North Carolina tomorrow, there's a grace available already there. How do you get that grace to operate so when you're there, it's in operation? You pray. You entrust your life and yourself to it. So I know, I'm praying, you're praying, we're believing God that when I go, there's a grace available. Amen. You get what I'm saying? Grace is already there. It's already upon you. You just got to take the time to say, I'm trusting in Jesus for His grace to operate through me. But if you don't take that time, there's not an entrusting there. You get what I'm saying here? You got to yield to it. You got to say, we're going in the word of the Lord. We're going with God. We're hearing His voice. We're trusting in Him. We're not doing it in our own power. You see the difference? They entrusted. They were entrusted. When they sent them out two by two, when you go today to go soul winning, and you go two by two or three by three or four by four, either way, I'm not talking about wood sizes. I'm talking about number of people. Amen. When you go, amen, God is entrusting it to you. Sorry, it's terrible. God is entrusting it to you. Yeah, how do you operate under anointing when your mind does dumb things like that? Jesus, the grace of God. Yeah. No, you go to the next scripture. Acts 15:40. Turn the page again if you need to. See, the grace had to be upon the church. Notice, every chapter in Acts is talking about the grace of God. Why? What are they doing? What's the common theme in Acts? They are walking and professing Jesus and sharing the gospel. Amen. In the power of God. Acts is taking place today. You are Acts Church. Amen. There is a power, there is a faith available to you, in you, through you, for the grace of God to come upon you to do what God's called you to do. Amen. That's what's taking place here. Every chapter has about the grace of God, because the number one thing is God. So if your life has mediocre grace being poured out in it, you got to ask yourself, why is mediocre grace being poured out? There's areas that are not in God that I'm doing. Okay, that went over like a lead balloon. Thanks for that glorious amen. All right. 1540. You just go back. They taught me that at Bible school. You ever get out too far, just go back to the cross and start ministering the cross. It'll get you back in line. Acts 15:40. I'm just being real with you. Read the scriptures, Pastor. Read the scripture. But Paul chose Silas, who was again in Antioch, and set out on his second journey, commended by the brothers to the grace and favor of our Lord. This is why church is important. Do not be a Lone Ranger ministry. Do not be a Lone Ranger person of God, child of God. Oh, I just have the Holy Spirit. Well, you're missing out on a whole bunch of stuff if you just have the Holy Spirit. I know you need the Holy Spirit. I preach the Holy Spirit. I got the Holy Ghost. And I rely on Him every day. But notice this verse right here. they set out on their second missionary journey, commended by the brothers. That's the same word as recommended. It's the same word as entrusted. You get what I'm saying? That's the body of Christ was behind them being sent out. You are behind me going to North Carolina. I am behind you going soul winning today. You understand what I'm saying? Entrusted, recommended. We're yielding to God, going in the word of the Lord, and God's grace is going to be available. But if you're saying, I just got the Holy Ghost, I get everything from God myself, I don't need any type of fellowship, relationship, I don't need teaching, I don't need preaching, I got it all myself, you're limiting yourself drastically. And you're out of the will of God, and you're disobedient, and there's not going to be much grace for you. Just being honest with you. Praise God for being here today. Amen. You're not one of those. Amen. Ephesians 3:7. We're going to finish up here. Praise God. And I'm just fired up. I'm ready to go to North Carolina, but I'm just having a good time right here. Amen. Ephesians 3:7. What in the world are you doing? We're online. Praise God. That's one of our pastors. Amen. Ephesians 3:7. All around the world, they just saw that. Amen. Ephesians 3:7. Amplify. If you can't have fun in church, praise God. I got God's grace, but thank you. I could go so many ways. The anointing is on the scripture. Ephesians 3:7, amplified. Of this gospel. Notice, every time it talks about the grace of God, the gospel, the word of God is attached to it. Amen. It has to be. Everything you do has to have the gospel attached to it. Of this gospel, I was made a minister. This is Paul speaking. By the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. That sums up everything I'm talking about today. That sums up the offering message. That sums up the message today. It sums up every message out of the word of God. Amen. By every minister of the gospel. It sums up you going soul winning today. Put yourself in there. Of this gospel, soul winning, you have to share the gospel. So guess what? This is your verse. I made a minister. I am commissioning soul winners to go as ministers of the gospel today. I deputize you. Amen. Hallelujah. If you want to put a little gospel badge on, you can, but you don't have to. Amen. Oh, sorry. I'm just having so much fun up here. Of this gospel, I was made a minister by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. How much of that verse is your ability physically? Zero. The only portion you have is make yourself available. That's it. The gift of God's grace is given to Paul through the working of God's power. So it's God's power releasing his grace to you, and it's all over you to minister the gospel. If you're not doing something pertaining to the gospel, you can't apply this verse. But if you're doing it for the kingdom, guess what? There's a power and a grace available for you to accomplish it. Amen. And it's all free from heaven. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 15:9 through 11. I used to say this is my last verse, but I'd be a liar. You know, I keep saying that, but I never obey that. 1 Corinthians 15:9 and 11. We're close though. For I am the least worthy of the apostles. This is the man of God that wrote almost 2/3 of the New Testament, that did wonderful attributes for God. And notice how he sees himself. For I am the least worthy of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle. Because at one time fiercely oppressed and violently persecuted the church of God. So that tells me, have any of you held somebody's shirt or jacket while they murdered Christians? Anybody here willing to admit that? I don't think so. I don't think so. Guess what? You're farther along than where Paul started. Yeah. You're farther along than where Paul started. But there was a grace for Paul to do what he did, even though he did the opposite of religion. You see what I'm saying? People that are in religion or works, all you got to do is stop working in that area and trust God and do what work in the area he tells you to work in. That's all you got to shift. Are you working for yourself? Or are you working for God? That's the difference between relationship and religion. Okay? But here we have Paul out there. He's doing the total opposite against the church, but God still saw fit to use him. There was a grace available for him. So he fiercely oppressed and violently persecuted the church of God. Verse 10, but by the remarkable grace of God, God's grace is remarkable. Oh, it's phenomenal. Why? Because it allows someone that murdered Christians or helped murder Christians become one of the greatest ministers of the gospel ever known to man. See the difference? Powerful. That's remarkable, isn't it? You say the word remarkable.
Remarkable.
Then put your name with it. You're remarkable. Because there's a grace of God on you to do what he's called you to do. Hallelujah. Remarkable grace of God. I am what I am. Some of you may be sitting here saying, it's remarkable that I'm even in church. Some of you may know my past and say, it's remarkable he's a pastor. Yeah, God's grace is remarkable. Isn't it pretty funny? I thought it was. Amen. Looking back, I'm thinking, my assistant pastor, I think that's pretty funny too. Yeah, God's got a sense of humor. He'll use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Amen. The meek things, the very low things of the world. I'm not talking about my assistant pastor. I'm just saying, he'll use low things to do great attributes for God. Great things for God. Guess what? That's you.
Amen.
I'm not saying you're assistant pastor. I'm saying God's got great things for you to do, and there's a grace right there with it.
Amen.
There's a grace there with it. I don't care what you did. You say, well, 5 years ago I did this. I don't care. God doesn't even care. If you release it, God doesn't care about it. He already paid for what you did 5 years ago.
Amen.
He is not sweating that.
Amen.
He's just like, okay, son, you messed up. Here's some grace for you.
Yeah.
Come to me, all you who are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll not only give you rest, I'll prepare a table right there in the presence of your enemies. And then I'll give you power to overcome everything.
Yeah.
Even this world. Huh, what a wonderful thing. How awesome is that? Do you see this?
Yeah. Yeah.
All you're doing is stepping over into a realm of God that is just full of the joy of the Lord.
Yeah.
We should be the most excited people out there because of the grace of God.
Amen.
Not, you didn't do anything too bad. God's saying, come to me. Come, I'll relieve it of you. I'll get it out of your life as far as the east is from the west. Then I'll fulfill you with all that I have. And then you'll go help fulfill other people's lives too. So what the enemy went for evil, God will turn it around for good. That's what that scripture means. Whatever you messed up, I almost said a different word. Whatever you messed up with, God will say, that's a mess up. That's not you. This is you. Come over here, receive what I have for you, and start walking in it. And all you have to do is say, okay. And then all of a sudden, you're in the grace of God. You're like, how can God do that? Because he's God. God does what he can do because he is God, and that's the God that we serve.
Yeah.
Amen. This is the final scripture. 1 Peter 5:12. I'm going to read it, and then we'll be close to done. 1 Peter 5:12. But Silvanus, our faithful brother. What is he faithful in? Preaching the gospel. See this? Faithfulness is doing the Lord's work. As I considered him, I have written to you briefly to counsel and testify that this is the true grace, undeserved favor of God. Last part I want you to get. Stand firm in it. Stand firm in it. So grace is available to all. It's been released through Jesus Christ for you. All you need to do is stand in it. How do you stand in it? Stay right in the center of God's will. Have faith in God. Don't let the enemy lie to you. You can't stop him from lying. He is a liar. That's his nature. He's a liar. Just know he's a liar and just realize he's lying and don't listen to him. Fight the fight of faith. Stand firm in the grace of God. Fight the fight of faith. Your belief system is your only battle. Between your two ears is your belief system. Amen. It's in your heart already as a child of God. You just got to believe it's there. There is the grace for your whole life is already in you. All you got to do is believe it's in there. Once you believe it's in there, you're going to start walking in things you never walked in before. You never thought. All your family members are like, how are they doing what they're doing? Oh, my God. The grace of God that was paid for 2,000 years ago. It's already there. It's upon you. His grace is sufficient. It's already there. You're not shocking God by all of a sudden making a better decision. And God's like, oh, man, they just made a decision. Let me send some angels down there to help them out. They finally made a decision. No. There's a spiritual realm all around us. And there's a Holy Ghost living on the inside of you. As soon as you make that decision, God is already present, already available. How is he your ever-present help in time of need? You don't catch God off guard. You don't have a waiting time. Well, I prayed my prayer. It may take this Sunday morning. A lot of people are praying this morning. Maybe it'll take a little longer to get what I need because there's a lot of prayers going forth. No, as soon as you pray in faith, it's already there.
Yes.
That means God's already present. Mm-hmm. So the moment you make a decision for God is the moment grace comes alive.
Yeah.
So what is it that you're believing for? What is it that you're going through? Everyone just bow your head and close your eyes. Listening online as well. What are you believing for? What's the Lord speaking to you? It doesn't matter where you are in God. Even if you're not even in God. Even if you don't even know the Lord. There's a grace available for you to know the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're listening online and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit is ministering right now to your heart. Praise God. Praise God. You may have never asked him into your heart, but the Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It also says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. You say, is it that easy? Oh, absolutely, it's that easy. Absolutely. You don't have to do anything. You just have to receive it. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. There is enough grace right now for you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and enter into the family of God. Hallelujah. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. You say, how do I do that? Just say, Jesus, come in. Forgive me of all of the things of this world, all of my sin. I release of that and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank him for dying on the cross for your sins. He rose again and defeated sin so you don't have to live in it any longer. All you're doing is believing in the one that redeemed you. Hallelujah. For you believers that are here that are going through thought patterns, all you need to do is believe in the one that redeemed you from it. Don't accept it. Don't accept this world. Accept the word of God. Accept Jesus into your situation. I don't know what everybody's going through. Maybe you're not going through anything negative. Everything's great. But you're believing God for something in the near future. Maybe it's property. Maybe it's a building. Maybe it's the ministry that the Lord has for you. Your plan and the purpose that God has for you. Everybody's at different places. But there's a grace with your name on it. There's a grace with your name on it. Whether it's something negative or whether it's something that you feel the Lord's telling you to do. That's a good work. There's a grace available for it. So if there's pain in your body, there's a grace upon you right now that'll take that pain and remove it out of your body in Jesus' name. Why do you think when you pray you have to use the name of Jesus? Because that's the name that gives you the grace for the deliverance. You have to put Jesus in it. You have to put Jesus in it. Put Jesus on that pain. He already paid for it. You are the healed of the Lord, the Bible says. All you're doing, it's not Jesus getting up off the throne and coming to your aid. It's you saying, I believe in the one who has already done it. And the moment you do that, your healing is there. It's there. Your healing's already provided. The gift of healing is already there. It's all, you're just opening it by faith. Oh, it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. If it's thought patterns, well, the people said I'll never be good enough. Don't worry about those people. They just lied to you. They lied to you your whole life, told you you're not good enough. That's a lie from the pit of hell. They were used by the enemy, and you say, well, that's my parents. I don't care. They were used by the enemy. God has a wonderful plan for your life. God has great things for you. Take that old thought pattern and say, that's not mine. I'm accepting the word of the Lord. God has given me all things that pertain to life in God. He's got a ministry for me to do. He's got a plan, a will, a purpose for me to do. I don't know how to do it. Guess what? There's grace in the wisdom of God. He'll give you the plan. He'll show it to you. He'll reveal it to you. It'll settle right in your heart. Get the word of God into people was mine. I got it in prayer in Pennsylvania in 2010. Get the word of God into people. I remember it was in March. We left in May, I think. Started the church in August in our house. God did a quick work. You say, how did you do all that? Did you have the money? No. Did you have everything? No. I didn't even have a pulpit at that time until I started the church. So you didn't have all that to start it? No, I didn't have it. But I had what I needed, the grace of God. I had Jesus. And you do too. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray for those online. Father, I thank you for each and every person listening online. Thank you for listening to this message. I believe it blessed you tremendously, but it's not done. This message is speaking to your spirit. Faith is rising up, and you're going to do great things for God. I speak a blessing over each and everyone listening online. Thank you. We love you and can't wait to hear your testimony and God's power and his grace moving in your life. His healing power operating in and through you. Great testimonies by the grace of God. In Jesus' name, thank you for joining us. We love you. Praise God. But if you're here today and you're believing for something, I want you to come forward. I want you to come forward. I have a couple of things the Lord spoke to me. This was the first one. If you're believing for something, there's a grace available for you. I'm not going to pray any long prayer over you. I'm just going to lay my hands on you, just like Paul did to Timothy, to stir up the gift. Amen. To stir up the gift of faith on the inside to receive the grace of God. I'm not like anointing you with my grace or anything like that. All I'm doing is releasing an impartation to you of the grace of God. That's it. It's your faith to receive God's grace. It's not mine. I don't know what the Lord spoke to you to do. But I know whatever the Lord spoke to you to do, there's a grace available, and I'm coming in agreement with that. Amen. You say, that's all you're doing? That's all I can do. That's all I can do. God does it all. You say, is ministry hard? No, when you allow the Lord to do it. It's his ministry, not mine. It's his ministry in you, not yours. It's his faith, his grace in you that causes it all to happen. It's not in your power. It's not in your ability. It's nothing to do with you or I. It's all God. It's all God. In Jesus' name. It's all God. It's all God. Hallelujah. It's all God. Always. Always. If it's not God, it's not grace. Hallelujah. Oh man, it's good to see you up here. Hallelujah. It's good to see you up. Man, there's a stirring. Hallelujah. I see it. There's a stirring and a burning. And it's like I see a pot. It's being heated up, and it's the Lord. The Lord's stirring it up, and the old thought patterns, old things, the things of the world are just coming to the surface. He's taking them off, and you're going to have this pure, holy, magnificent life filled with the presence of God. Ha, that's what I see. That's what I see. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And it's nothing wrong, nothing you did wrong, nothing with that. It's just the Lord taking you to a new place. New place, pure and holy by the grace of God. In Jesus' name. There it is. Receive it. All God's grace. It's all God. It's all God. Hallelujah. I didn't push him. It's all God. Amen. Everything's God. If you allow it, 100% of you can be God. Because he created you. So from the very beginning, it wasn't you anyway. And you say, oh, it's my parents. That's where I came from. It's got to be them. Your parents wouldn't have existed if it wasn't for God. So God knows everything. He sees everything. Can do all things. All you do is say, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Grace. Grace. There it is. Grace. Oh, there's a peace. Peace of God. You say, how does God's peace pass understanding? Because understanding is only in the natural realm. When you have the peace of God, that's supernatural understanding. God's speaking to your heart right now. He's going to continue to share his heart with you. Oh, it's good. There's a strong connection with the Holy Spirit as you yield, surrender. I don't mean you haven't been. All I'm saying is that continue in what you're doing. I'm confirming that what you're doing is very, very good. I feel God's peace on you. Again, I'm trying to help people. It's not natural feeling. It's the anointing. Jesus. Grace of God. The grace of God. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah, you laughed when I said you're nothing. So that's really good, Jake. You're nothing. But what lives in you is all things to all people, to all nations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In and of yourself, you're nothing. But what lives, drives, motivates you is the power of Almighty God. You're just a vessel housing the glory of God. Great grace. Jesus. Fire in Jesus' name. Man, we have the most receptive children of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hungry and thirsty. Hungry and thirsty. If you're hungry and thirsty for God, don't try to manipulate God to try to, you know, feed you. Just yield. Just submit. Just humble yourself before God. That's how you get filled with God. Being filled with God is not something you strive to do or in your own power. Being filled with God is really emptying yourself. That's how you get filled with God. God will only fill you with the places that you empty of yourself. Amen. God will fill you wherever there's room for him to fill you. Hallelujah. There's somebody's getting a hold of this. God will fill you wherever there's room. So when you open up your heart to God, God fills your heart. When you open up your mind to God, God fills your mind. When you open up your flesh to God, God fills you. Amen. You say, well, I don't change. I don't look like God physically. No, you don't look like God physically, but your mortal body can come alive to God. And his divine plan and purpose can be all over you. Amen. When people say, well, that person's anointed. Well, it's because they put their own self under and allowed God in. And God smeared them, marinated, just filled them to overflowing with his presence. And that's the anointing. The anointing is God's manifest power. Hallelujah. You all right, Pastor? Yeah. Praise God. There's anointing all over you and your family, your marriage, in Jesus' name. Jesus, fill them. Fill them. Joy. Joy. You say, how do people laugh and they can't control it? Because they're not laughing in themselves. It's their flesh just yielding to God. And it's the joy of the Lord, not the joy of this world, not the happiness that's temporal, it's eternal. Man, I'm telling you, they're strong. Whew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The other thing the Lord spoke to me is, if you're going soul winning, I want you to come forward. And if all the ushers are going soul winning, that's praise God, but we'll have to figure out something. You get prayed for last. But if you're going soul winning today, after service, I want to lay hands on you too for the grace of God to be upon you. Now, some people up here are probably going soul winning. They got what they needed on the first dose, okay? But if you're going soul winning, I want you to come forward. You say, well, I'm not sure yet. Well, you got to get right with the Lord real quick and figure that out. Amen. But if you know you're going and you're making a commitment, you're saying, yes, I'm going. I'm going to share. I haven't done it before. I've done it, but I'm not feeling it. Well, guess what? You're not going to feel it. I've never felt my flesh say, yes, let's all go soul winning together every day. Let's all just run out there and do it. Oh, my flesh wants to just yearns to go soul winning. No, your flesh wants to do your own hobby and go eat bonbons and watch a movie. That's what your flesh wants to do. So you don't be moved by your feelings. You're not going to feel like soul winning in your flesh. I'm just telling you. You're not going to feel that. But what you are going to feel is the presence of God on the inside to want to go soul winning. And all I'm doing is confirming that. There's going to be a joy come on you when you soul win. It's going to draw people like a magnet. The goodness of God leadeth to repentance. Praise God. So there's a grace available for the soul winners. You say, well, I want that grace. Well, you got to go soul winning. That's where the grace is going to meet them. Amen. Amen. You get what I'm saying? You can't have the cake and eat it too. You know what I mean? You can't just want it and think it's yours. I'll show you my faith by my works. When you put your hand to it, God's grace is in you to see it come to pass. When you open your mouth to share the gospel, God's faith and his grace and power is on his word. Amen. You're just the vessel. Praise God. You're just the vessel. A vessel fit for the Father's use. Grace. Giggly grace. Jesus. Ah, receive it. Ah. Jesus. Yeah. Grace. It make you happy. Why? Because it's not you. It's not you. Grace. Jesus. Now. Grace. It's sufficient. It's more than enough. You say, well, I don't know what those people are going through. God already knows. He's already dealing with them. He knows everyone that's going to be spoken to today. He knows their heart condition. He knows what they've been through. He knows what they're going through. And he also knows that his gospel is the answer. There's power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's why there's anointing on the gospel. That's why grace is upon the gospel, because it brings forth God's goodness and his salvation to all mankind. Jesus, the grace of God. The grace of God. Now, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Woo! For the grace of God. Oh, I get the word many. Yeah. Get ready. Get ready. Just let it, doesn't have to be long. Just a sweet presence of his grace upon you. Ha! Overflow. Your greatest day soul winning thus far is today.
Yes. Yes and amen.
Yes. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, watch and see. Hallelujah. You say, how can you say that? By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's how I can say it. That's awful bold. How do you know? By the grace of God, I know. By faith. That's how you operate. That's the reason you're struggling. God's grace. Not you. I'm saying in general. Jesus, I got to move away. Jesus. Ha! Jesus. Woo! Grace. There's grace in Smyrna. As soon as you get over there, I'm telling you, God's preparing the people, and he's sending his people, and there's going to be a great party in Smyrna today. Hallelujah. Jesus in the grace of God. Grace of God. Grace of God. Where'd you go? I wasn't even praying for you. Jesus, thank you, Lord. You say the scripture says there's no distance in the spirit realm. There's your literal. Yeah, that's it. Thank you. That's why you have pastors to help you out. Even the pastor needs a pastor to help him out. Thank you, Lord. You say, aren't you praying for me? Yeah, I'm getting there. That's what it is. That's the answer you need. Joy. Joy. Joy out of your belly. Jesus, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. The Lord has someone he wants you to lay hands on for healing. These hands have healing in them. There's a grace on you for healing. Be led by the Lord. He'll show you. But you're going to talk to someone. They're going to need healing. And there's a grace right there for you to step into that, lay hands on them, and watch the power of God be released. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. That's specific for you today. I didn't have that word for everybody. They can heal people too. I don't mean it that way. But there's like a gift of faith on you for healing. Release it. Release it. If you're in his group and there's somebody that needs healing, you say, hey, CJ, get over here. And you better go. You better go. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah. Yeah, there's grace, and all kinds of grace. I'm having a lot of fun, Mr. Scott. I'm having a lot of fun. No, there's some for you. There's enough fun to go around.
Well, I
want to
share it.
Yeah, I'm sharing it too. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's why you're doing what you're doing. That's why God's doing what he's doing.
Yes.
Get another dose. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, God is so good. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I walk past here. Once I get to the edge of the pulpit, I just see healing, man. I just feel the presence of God for healing. The way you work on doing those intricate things you do with a welder and all that kind type of metal work, that's the way God's going to use you for healing. Intricate. And I don't mean that you got to do something. What I'm saying is it doesn't matter what it looks like. God has the detail for the healing, and it's going to flow through you. Hallelujah. Man, praise God. Praise God. Well, praise God. Well, that's what I had today. Well, I should say that's what the Lord gave me today. I didn't have anything. The Lord had it. Amen. And the Lord has you today. And He has wonderful things for you today. And just like people are touched up here, God's going to use you to touch people. You say, well, I'm not doing nothing today. Well, that's one of the reasons you may not see the grace of God, because you're not doing anything. God will meet you with what you're doing in faith. Every time. You say, well, I'm feeding my family lunch. There's going to be a grace upon you to make lunch for your family. Hallelujah. It'll be great fellowship and great food. You say, well, I'm not a good cook. I believe in God. That food will, if He can take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed 4,000 and 5,000, He can surely take your inabilities of cooking and make a good meal. Amen. There's things I got to rely on the grace of God, and that's one of those areas. For me personally, I'm being honest with you. Some people can cook, some people can't. So some people have to believe God. Hallelujah. My assistant pastor's laughing because he can cook. Amen. Some things are easier for people. Other people have to believe God. Amen. Well, I'm just rambling because I'm just enjoying myself up here. And the anointing's upon the people that got prayed for, but the anointing is not. I'm finished. It's done. It's lifted off of the message today for me. Praise God. But there's an anointing and a grace in what the Lord has for me next time, which is heading south. So I would appreciate your prayers and your continued love for what the Lord has for me. And I release it on all these soul winners here today. And I'm believing for those that didn't come up or can't make it today, guess what? There's souls that the Lord's going to put across your path. Amen. And there's going to be a grace there for you as well. Father, thank You for this wonderful day. Thank You for these wonderful people that it's a privilege to do life with. Not as a pastor to members of a church, but as a fellow believer living for God. This is a wonderful family. Precious. And I love being a part of it. And I thank You for being a part of it with me. Have a great day. God bless you. In Jesus' name.